All right, it's on.
What? It's on?
Welcome to our world.
Well, I'm Jess.
And I'm Adam.
That's it. Okay, let's go.
Where are you going?
Are we on?
We are on.
Oh, hi.
Hi.
This is exciting. Episode 2.
Episode 2.
Yeah, baby.
Thanks for listening.
Yeah, oh my gosh. So, just one second.
Okay.
I am overwhelmed with how many people...
with the success of episode 1.
No, I'm not kidding. Like, who liked our Facebook page, our Instagram page, who actually listened to the podcast. I had absolutely no... I texted you.
Like, I know.
What the heck is happening?
I know.
I had no idea this was going to happen.
So
this rules, and thank you guys for...
Yes.
For at least checking this out.
Well, I think what was fun was we knew that there was going to be a handful of listeners because there's people who just like support you regretfully through every decision that you make.
We'll come see your band play.
Yeah. Sure. That's the best version of Blink-182 I've ever heard. Said no one. But I think the cool thing was we got messages and text messages and direct message, well, all the messages from people that I never would have expected to listen to the show.
No. I mean, yes.
Whatever the correct.
Whatever. I just wanted to
say I love
that
it.
I am surprised and grateful at the same time.
One of the people that we were hoping would listen to the show because we kind of look up to him and what him and Craig do with Sophisticated Hoosier and with...
Not so much Craig, but I get it.
in all their ventures with Momed Canco, like everything that they... All the ventures that they are pushing from a kind of local area, I think we look up to that. But certainly what they do from a podcast and video cast point of view is... We were like, oh, man, how cool would it be if, like, Steve checked it out? And he gave us the most love.
Yeah, 100%.
So,
like, the other night I said, Adam, I really think that I want Steve to be our first guest. What do you think? And he was like, 100%.
Yeah.
Like, hands down.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, shares, like, calls to action, likes, comments, love.
All of it.
It was awesome. And we're both like, oh, God, Steve, listen. This is amazing.
We made it. We're here. We have arrived.
Yeah.
So welcome, Steve. Welcome, Steve Elgin.
Steve. Welcome, Steve. Sorry. I'm nervous. I've never done this before.
So here's the thing with me.
Okay, and we're going to go right into you. Because I wanted to address the whole ordinary people thing. Like, we just do ordinary guys. People who, you know, have nothing special about them. We just want to hear their stories. I'm like, what is this open? I'm
Steve,
sitting here.
Do you love to be on it?
But no, let's talk about you.
No, here's my thing is, whenever I, like, go and see a speaker or listen to a podcast, I think the beginning, like, introduction that's written of where they went to college and what they do for work is so cheesed out that I would love you to introduce yourself. Like, who the hell do you think you are?
Okay. You guys are sitting here with Stephen George Michael Elgin. And I think to sum it up, I'll sum up the name. In eighth grade, I'm a good Catholic lad from the state streets of St. Louis. And
what
you know,
state street?
It's Tennessee.
Oh,
Tennessee
in
the house. That was what we said on Tennessee. I'm kidding. We didn't.
You never
say
said
that.
That.
Never said that until just now. But in eighth grade, I've always kind of been a lot of childhood trauma. It's always been kind of like, hey, look at me. This is funny, and it's happening over here. Nothing crazy, but you know, just enough to add a little bit of specialness to the second child. I got an older sister who's 6 years older. Shout out to Jamie. She didn't listen to my podcast. If she listens to this one, I'm really going to be upset with you.
She
but
does.
In eighth grade, you know, Stephen George Michael Elgin,
That's your confirmation name, Michael?
Yes, yes. Cool. So eighth grade,
you did that
confirmation.
Purposefully, or?
Well, no, this is kind of the epitome of my life right here. Awesome. So, you know, the bishop, it was crazy important for all you Catholic people listening to this out there. You had this ceremony in eighth grade and they prepped you forever on it. And they're like, the bishop's going to ask questions. He's going to ask questions, you guys.
I don't
guys.
Remember any of this.
Oh, yeah. They were going to ask. They pick a few people and I just knew. I'm like, I'm E. I'm first row. A starts at the first row, and I'm center row, first row with my sponsor, just center front. So I'm like, he's going to hit me with a question. And I know stuff. You know, I'm pretty good at knowing stuff. I was all right.
Yeah.
But I get anxiety, like test anxiety. No real
church anxiety.
I've gotten it over. Yes. And I mean, you know, like the confessional booth, that was always freaked me out. I'm like, talk me into my mom.
It should.
Yeah, I know. I'm glad I didn't feel super comfortable in there. Like, kick off my shoes. I go face to face. Can I take my shirt off in here, Padre? Or what's the deal? So I had studied on Michael because Michael was like the angel who defeated like Lucifer maybe and all this stuff. I forgot it all. I've tried to block all this time of my life. So the bishop gets up. He asked me a question, but it was kind of like a trick question. I can't exactly remember the question was, but I kind of answered it, like, but didn't answer it. And he's like, that's not exactly the answer I'm looking for. And I'm like, I got nothing else. Like, please go to someone else. So he ends up going to someone else, but kind of looking at me like, that wasn't that good. Like, God's not that pleased with you, you know, give me that eye. And I'm like, gosh darn it, Catholic guilt, here I go. So then he reads off everybody's names and he gets to mine and he's like, Stephen, George, Michael, Elgin. And there's like scattered scoffs in the crowd of these adults who look at this eighth grade and are like, and I hadn't really
appropriate
realized it. I hadn't realized it, and I heard it, and I'm like, "Don't say it like that." And the bishop, yeah, exactly. And I'm a big George Michael guy, like I'm into it. But I was like, "Okay, I'm, you know, it happened. It was funny to everybody else." And then the bishop looked at me like, "Hey, man, this is serious. You don't need to be making jokes." And I'm like, "Buddy, 99% of the time, I'm with you. I'm trying to make this joke. This one just...
This ain't it." Right.
So if I would have to say anything, you know, that kind of sums up my life. Like, I'm trying to be funny all the time, and then in the moments where I'm like, hey, let's get serious, they're like, yeah. And I'm like, no, I want to. But, you know, I would like to start out with gratitude to you guys, because you guys doing your thing fired me up even more to want to follow my dreams. Like, I've had my mom and my dad in the... I'm kind of the black sheep of the family of you guys for the last few years I have. But not the last few years. Maybe 10 years ago I was. Because I went to college and I was like, man, I was going to work on Wall Street. And like, I was like, no, I got it all figured out. College is a scam. You know, like, I was like, yeah. And my parents like, please, just get like a communications degree. And my dad was finally like, dude, if you're not into it, like, do something, get a trade, travel, like figure it out. People do stuff all the time. And I'm like, rock and roll, dad. My dad's always been like rock and roll. You know what I mean? So I'm like, so then in college, I kind of opened up, figured out, you know, what exactly was going on in the world, thought I knew. And then now the last few years, my family is finally like, oh man, you just been grinding forever.
Right.
And now it's finally starting to look like it's panning out a little bit for you. And they're, you know, hearing that from your parents too, it's like, holy crap, man. Like,
yeah.
That's all I ever wanted to hear from you guys. And now that I'm 35, it's like, that's amazing. And, you know, like you Adam mentioned before the podcast, like, you know, you got to realize what kind of little community you have around the whole thing you got going. And it's like, I do, but you take it for granted, like everything else. And to see guys like you start from where you're starting and you're passionate. Like, I can see Jess, like, you know, you got fire in your eyes right now. It's scary.
It's like a Daria-ish
fire. Yeah, totally. Every time I think of you, I think Daria. Daria. But no, I just want to say I'm grateful to you guys for having me on. Like,
yes.
You guys are passionate. I think it fires everyone up around you guys. Like, I love your, like, just your interactions had me rolling. And it's hard to make me laugh, guys. Like, I'm the laugher, not the laughy. You know what I mean? I make you laugh. I don't laugh. I'm dead inside.
That's awesome.
Well,
so that's me.
Thank you for that.
That's me, everyone.
Okay. All right. Well, why don't you start off by telling us who's in your world? What's your world consist of?
My world is my wife, Jenny. I mean, the reason I can do anything I do, what I do, is because of her. Like, and she's, I mean, from playing darts till 4 a.m., you know, at her, she used to live in her grandma's house, and, like, just having the time of our lives to going through the battles of being together as parents. And, you know, it wasn't like we were, like, hey, we, you know, we are childhood sweethearts. We figured all this out, and, like, yeah, everything went exactly like the TV or what movies say it should. Like, we had to, you know, go through some trials and tribulations to come out where we are now, but now we both realize that that's kind of what makes it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, like, everything we've been through, the ups and the downs, and even, you know, now with, like, we're like, oh, yeah, it's going great. Maybe, okay, maybe it's not going so good. You know, like, and it's like, oh, crap. You question that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But that's, you know, that's your road dog right there. You know what I mean? I'm still from the state streets, yo. And Jenny's dirty South City, too. So it's like,
sure.
We like to get it. You know, we're, I was built in a house of like, oh, I'm going to fight you for sport tonight. Okay. So then you realize that, too. And you're like, oh, we're both huge assholes sometimes. But shit, we've been through a lot together. Like, I love her more than anything. She's, I can do anything I do without her, you know?
Yeah.
And she produced two beautiful steed masculine boy children. I have Oliver, who's 9, and Ivan, who turns 4 tomorrow.
Oh,
happy birthday, Ivan.
Yeah.
This
early birthday.
It's sure. Gonna full disclosure, it's gonna take about 6 weeks for me to edit this. So well, happy belated birthday, Ivan.
Happy Sorry, birthday, buddy. Oliver. Your birthday's in December. Happy birthday, Oliver. Happy 10th birthday. I hope everything's good. No,
oh
but
my gosh.
Oliver, you know, the first kid, you know, he's got this just beautiful spirit about him, really kind. Like just a really like I always every day before school. It's be kind and do your best. And I go, even I don't even know what doing your best really means. Like,
right.
Just try. You know what I mean? Because every day it's hard to ask you to do your best. You know what I mean? I wanted to have something to say to him every day just to, you know, say, okay, if I'm falling on hard things, at least I got one. I'll just be kind. You know what I mean? Like, it's
right.
All.
Right.
I don't care if you fail the test. As long as you're like the kid who's sitting by himself, you're like, hey, you good, man?
Right.
Okay, cool. And like, that's much more important to me than you getting straight A's on everything and understanding this math test. You know, it's like,
right.
You need to be struggling at that stuff. You need to be growing. And you don't want to get locked in this streak of A's and like, now I only do stuff that's easy to me so I can get A's. Like, I feel like that happened to me a little bit. So Oliver's just the rock, you know, a lot like Jen, just a beautiful little soul, man.
Mm.
And Ivan, Oliver's brown hairs, brown eyes. Ivan has blue hair, or blue hair, blonde eyes. He's a freak. We love him, though.
You guys look exactly
we love
alike.
Him. He's a little freak.
I just took a picture of Steve, and I said,
hello,
oh,
Ivan.
What's up, Ivan?
Right.
Like, I know. He is you.
And,
Oliver is Jenny, that's for sure.
He acts a lot like me, too, which, like, sometimes we'll have this bond where I see him eyeing something up to, like, jump off of, and I'm... I said to myself, oh, I would jump off that. That's kind of crazy. And I see it in his eyes. And I say to myself, you better get over there because he's about to jump. He's about to jump across there. So they're the reason I do everything. I mean, obviously, I'm a selfish bastard. So I want all the attention. But, you know, I want it works out that I can get a little bit of attention, you know, that I desperately needed growing up. and I can also get a you know, hopefully stabilize the family and figure out this whole media world. Because now, you know, I used to dream about being on SNL as a kid. Now I can have my own channel on YouTube that is
requires nothing.
My idea of what SNL should be,
right?
You know, so that's my world right there.
Well, we
and my friends and like everything. Like Craig has been a great part of this whole ride. Like I've always been kind of looking for someone to say, hey, you want to come along for this crazy shit?
Right.
And he's the first dude who's like, yeah. And then after the first couple months, wasn't like, okay, I wasn't prepared for this. Like, he's like, oh, you're for real about this. And I'm like, I think I am. I was like, I just keep doing it every day. I don't know if I am for real or not. And that's one thing I always hold on to is just one foot in front of the other, you know, like that's every day. But my mom, my dad, they're huge influences in my life, too. So that's pretty much my world, you know.
Okay.
And friends. I love friends. Sure. I love you guys.
I love friends.
Love friends.
What can you explain to people out there that don't know what you and Craig do together?
All right, so Craig and I do Hoosier Sophisticate, and it's a radio show on 9:20 a.m. It's on Monday nights from 7 to 9. We talk a lot of cannabis. We talk a lot of psychedelics. We talk just kind of some weird stuff like aliens and psychics. We sometimes get a little political. We try to maybe point out things that, you know, are wrong and kind of have a laugh at them, but also say pay attention to this at the same time. We try to get a little serious on topics that can really help people, because that's the end game. Like, if I could help people for a living, like, I know I'd just wake up every morning like, oh, okay, time to go help more people today. Like, that's what fuels me, mm-hmm. you know, and then sometimes you got to think about yourself, though, too. But with Hoosier Sophisticate, then we have a podcast and we do a bunch of online stuff. We have a group called the Sophisticated Hoosiers. That's our family. Like, those people, I think we're 16 or 17.
Yeah, 1,700 strong.
And I'm like, geez, man.
That's insane.
And we went to Kansas City and people were like, oh, hey, we're fans. And I'm like, from Kansas City? What's wrong with you? Like, you don't know us. So we're finally getting out of that, like, first circle of friends, yeah. friends of friends. Now it's like strangers who have found our content and they're like, oh, my, Steve from Hoosier Sophisticate? And I'm like, oh, fan from person I don't know? You know, and they're like, oh, I just try to play it off. And then I hit on them. A guy or girl, I'm just like, hey, what's up?
Right.
Well, get out of here. I'm crazy.
And then I like, revoke the like.
I think one of the coolest, well, not one of the coolest, but the thing that I loved while I was watching your community grow was you always post, it used to be monthly. Now it seems like it's weekly, that says something to the effect of, we want to welcome our new members or yeah. whatever it is. And so when you first were going, I would see that post and I would see like my brother, six dudes from high school, four people that we all knew from other friends and other family members. And you're like, oh yeah, this is cool. All our family's kind of jumping on. And then now the list is 832 long while you're adding. And yeah. I've never heard of one of those people. And it's like, holy cow. Like,
yeah.
This is super cool that just through them being consistent, being positive and posting content that they're passionate about, other people that are out there are relating to it going, I want to listen to that, or I want to consume that content. And yeah. stuff like that fires us up to, mm-hmm. to do this.
Yeah.
And, I always got a kick out of that. I'm like, I don't know any of these people anymore. Like, who are you, Steve? What happened?
I think it was the, Braveheart video.
Oh my God. Listen, time out. Everybody time out.
Blue's heart.
We need to stop everything.
Okay.
If you're listening to this, you need to go to the Sophisticated Hoosier and you need to like it. And then you need to search the Blue's Heart video, which
it's on YouTube too, Mycelial Media.
Insane.
It is the most amazing piece of content.
And I have to say that as a female who's the age of 34, I could give a rat's nuts about Braveheart. I don't like it. I don't want to watch it.
That's a shame.
I don't care. And I've seen it. I've seen the scene. I know what you were doing. I correlated it. Steve, we as a family of three, and there's a three-year-old at the table, by the way, we watched your video during dinner before the Blues game at least 7 times. It was the funniest thing I've ever seen in my life. It was amazing. And Asa just kept saying, like, who is that? Who is that, mommy? I'm like, oh, that's Ivan's daddy. He's like, I don't think
that's your dad's friend.
Yeah, I don't really know.
I'm not sure. Well. That's you know Adam. He went to high school with Adam.
Yeah, oh. It's like, oh, I get it.
That makes total sense. Total sense.
Thank you. That's
hilarious.
I've been trying to just push the envelope. That's what I do. So. And now that I'm getting a little bit of equipment, I can kind of take some of the weird ideas out of my head
yeah.
and put them down on that kind of stuff. Sure. So, I mean, that was one of the funnest things I could ever do. I have so many outtakes that I have to release that I'm like, oh, you're like, I'm like, I would mess it up and be like, come on. And then I catch a glimpse of myself in the camera. I'm like, you're going to get mad at yourself now. Like, look right. at yourself,
look,
idiot.
You're wearing blue yes, face yeah. paint and
like,
a wig.
I had, like, an Afghan rug yes. and one of Jenny's, like, fuzzy shirts that I'm just trying to lap up on me to look, because I don't have an outfit that's Scottish outfit.
I loved it. Like, the first time I watched it, because we watch it multiple times, first time I watched it, like, this is funny.
Yeah.
And then the second time, I'm like, is that like a soccer afghan or something like
what is that?
Wrapped around his
neck. Afghan.
It was. It just made it so much funnier. So you did a good job.
Well, thank you. That's what I mean. I live off other people's laughter for real.
Sure.
Like I love it. I love seeing what makes people laugh. You know, like. Not everything I do hits. I know it's hard to believe, guys, but I've learned how to just roll out of that and turn that into something funny now, too. Like, people enjoy our age, especially. Like, we grew up with all the shows where it's like, oh, awkward comedy.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So if you can kind of play into that, you know, we're all pretty comfortable with ourselves at this point. It's like, oh, that awkward thing happened to me. Oh, Larry David music. Cue the Larry David music.
Right,
you know,
right.
So.
Let's highlight it.
Well, yeah, the other thing is like, you don't hear them not laugh, you know? It's not stand-up. You're not standing right in front of them, so...
Right. Yeah. Well, and I think...
You could just delete it if you wanted
If you wanted to. But the important thing is, in the newsfeed world that we live in from a social consumption standpoint, consistent content will push that. Nobody remembers anything that isn't funny. Everybody remembers Blue's Heart.
Yeah.
Everybody knows that... You know, Linda Branigan's estate was commenting on you dancing to Gloria behind a green screen. Oh my lord!
Well, everyone didn't.
Our Laura Branigan. Nobody knows her name. She's
what did you call her?
Linda.
And I went with it.
I think I said Linda. You're like, yeah, Linda. Linda's people said that. Yeah.
Yeah, her people. They're like, she would love this.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's awesome.
That's insane.
But I also realized I had all my Facebook privacy settings set. High because I almost got caught like 5 years ago on a fishing trip when I called in sick to work. So I like friends of friends couldn't see it. Finally, one of Jenny's friends of like a friend who I wasn't friends with tried to watch it, whatever, and she was like, I can't get this video. Someone specifically sent it to me and it says I'm not able to access it. So then I remembered the whole fishing trip fiasco, and I was like, you still haven't changed them, you idiot? Like, you were in social media.
So you could have
moron.
A million followers and not
I
even...
I think I probably could have had a little more, because I would have showed up on algorithms more. I wouldn't think I would be, but like Young Page Views, I don't even want to go into all that. The guy from Barstool.
The chinchilla, yeah.
Yeah, he just has a bunch of followers, and he did like a little dance, and like he was like hanging out with Brett Hall and stuff, and I'm like, well, that's the game. I hate him with a passion, but
damn fish. Fishing trip.
Yeah.
Damn it.
Yeah.
All right. Cool.
All right. So we wanted to ask a few more questions. I think you kind of covered the next couple about who helps you run your world and some things that you're passionate about. Tell us really quickly about your passion for the most amazing feat in St. Louis sports history that has happened. And don't just be excited about the Stanley Cup championship. Go into really quickly.
You should definitely tell them what to not be excited about.
I want you to tell us about the things that you've been doing over the last 4 years as the Blues have been somewhat becoming, I mean, we've been Blues fans forever, but from a bandwagon perspective, the Blues have been getting more buzz over the last 5 years, let's call it. So
it has nothing to do with your roller skates.
Right. That's what I want to go into the,
Listen,
talk about
David
consistency.
Text me every once in a while because he got wind of the first Cuck for the Cup.
Shut up.
And he's like, what can I ask what this is? And I was like, David, it's a whole deal. But he still tries to, even when he's from Boston, still tries to text me all the time. I'm like, Maxie, I'm not into it, bro. I'm joking. No one has ever contacted me from the St. Louis Blues. It's a travesty on their part. But I had my settings all messed up.
It's a fishing trip.
God dang, fishing trip. Okay, I was born a little Bluesier, like I really was. My dad, part of his job was taking clients out, and he would take two clients, and he'd take his little guy, and I would go with him to all the games. And I played NHL hockey, so I loved all of, like, I knew all the players, and my dad would take me to the old barn, and I was like, oh, this is seeing my dad as Mr. Johnny Saturday night with these guys, just having a good old time. He'd buy me cotton candy, and I'd be like, ooh. He's like, I'm going to buy you cotton candy, but do not make me take you into the restroom. because you're acting a fool. That was always my dad's threat. Like, hey, do we need to go to the bathroom? And I'd be like, nope, do not need to go anywhere alone with you.
Right.
I am very comfortable in changing how I am behaving right,
right.
now. So,
as many people around, the better.
So sit still? Good. Good. I'm good on you. Because I could always get away with everything with my mom, but then my dad was always like, and I could, you know, I could get away with a lot with my dad. I knew when I pushed the limit that he was like,
that was enough.
I put up with you throughout this this entire dinner at the Bevo Mill. And now you're going to pull this. Do we need to go to the bathroom? And I'd be like, okay, I'm sorry. So he took me to Blues games. He was my hero, man. Like,
yeah.
I always wanted to be him when I was older and take my buddies to the Blues game. And like, aww. Oh. So, like, I was a huge, you know, the Hall & Oates era. You get it. You know,
huge.
Cujo. Like, I was looking up the best players of the 90s. We had, like, 15 of them on our team at one point.
Yeah.
Like, the Blues had a nice little run.
Shanny, Gretzky, Janney, Cujo, Fuhrer.
Shanahan, Pronger, McInnes, Hall. Like, we had them. We had all of them at one point. Eric Lindros had a short stint with us. I'm just joking.
That's not true.
I know. I made that up. But I've just always loved the Blues, and I always kind of loved the underdog, and I've always loved the fact that we hadn't won it. Like, that was one of the things I worried about when we did win it, was like, do we lose our identity? Like, I just knew how to get up the next year and say, this is the year.
Right.
I just knew that's how it was, and I knew that the playoffs were going to be just heartbreak, you know? And I kind of, you know, I kind of live for that sometimes, like that sadness every once in a while where I'm like, oh, my God, that's tragic. But it's not real tragedy. It's something I can kind of get my emotions out on. It's sports. You know what I mean? So I lived and died with them. But then a few years ago, this is probably 5-6 years ago now, I broke my arm playing kickball. And stupid. I was trying to dive to tip a ball to somebody else. Idiot. I was going to make a play, baby. Kickball. You get it.
Of course I get it. You compete.
Exactly. I was competing the hell out of it out there. So I break my arm. I have a little time off work, and I decide to try to get an email read on TMA. You know, the morning show, it gets like 600 to a million freaking downloads each month. I mean, I have 3 podcasts a day.
Right.
5 days a week.
Right.
So it's not that tough. But, I mean, they're awesome. They're a great community.
They are.
It is hard to get that many views. They're amazing. So I tried to get my emails read. Finally, one of my buddies sees Plowsy in a Blues bar. And Plowsy got mixed up and thought that was Cucky the Dwarf. So he decided to read some of Cucky the Dwarf's. Let me back up because I'm just saying Cucky the Dwarf. So Cucky the Dwarf, I was the 8th dwarf. I wrote into this morning show that Plowboy was on, one of the characters from TMA, and I said, I'm Cucky the Dwarf, the 8th dwarf. I just kind of creep at the end of the bed and watch Snow White and the Prince kind of, oh, you know, just a weirdo. And they saved that name. And I was like, you're saving that name? Like, I've come up with so many other names. Like, that's the one that stuck? Again, I was like, I can't believe that stuck. So then I was Cucky the Dwarf. Well, I had this time off work. Game 7, Blackhawks. I go out. It was my... It was my anniversary, Game 7, Dallas that year. Go outside the window of the studio and do like a little dance in jean shorts. Well, that caught fire with that little community.
Yes, it did.
That community raised me up.
Yeah.
I mean, so I learned everything I know from that little community there. So then that kind of caught fire. I was on Twitter, and then I did some videos then, you know. And then I still had a job where I wasn't sure if I could really put it all out there. Like, I wanted to put it all out there because I worked for a reputable St. Louis company.
Right.
And I was like,
is that when you went on the fishing trip?
It was exactly when I went on the fishing trip.
Oh, okay. Cool.
It was before that a little bit, though. I had to keep, you know, post things that were just specific. It was a hellacious time.
So, hellacious.
It was hellacious in my life. I love being free.
Real struggles.
That's a whole nother story in itself, though, how, like, I had a job offered to me, taken away in 3 days. Like, I switched my whole family's life up, like, talk to Jen, like, we're gonna take this plunge. Three days later, the guy's like, I got a different job. Sorry.
You're out.
And I was like, I ain't going back to Mosby. And that was kind of a push in all this direction. Oh, I just
hope that Cucky thing works out. I can bleep him out.
No, you're fine. They're
probably not in the company anymore.
They're probably not gonna listen to this.
They don't care about me. But no, so I've always been a Blues fan. I did those videos. I rollerbladed, or I ran the first year from the studio to the statue, just
right.
Because I was like, no, this is kind of a funny idea. And I was going to give like inspirational speeches the whole way.
Which is not a short run.
It was 6.6 miles, I think.
Right. How often were
I
you running
run.
At that point? Right. That's what I was going to say.
I blew heaters the whole time. Right. That was kind of the shtick.
Right. I'm running, smoking a dart. He's like, yeah, yeah, exactly. In my jean shorts. Well, one guy donated to charity. He goes, I'm going to donate $10 for every mile this idiot ran. Pick a charity. And that's the guy who really, the light bulb went off in my head. And I was like, oh, people will pay to see me do dumb stuff. And the
it could help
can
someone.
Go to charity.
Right, and it can help someone.
Are you kidding me?
God, like,
this is all I've ever wanted to do, and I didn't know I wanted to do it till just now. And so that's where the whole thing came from. And then this year is obviously me and my dad and my son experienced game 7. We took a picture at the end of the game. My dad's weeping his eyes out. You know, I had my big cry at game 6. I went to game 6 and ugly cried before the game. I'm like, Charles played last. Oh my God, all the emotions, every emotion I'm getting emotional just thinking about it right now. Like every emotion from my youth of all these awesome Blues moments. I was like, this is it. I thought we were going to do it. I was devastated afterwards. But then me and my dad and son got a picture, you know, my son's super into it. And we're in the background on the TV, Marchand crying.
Yes.
I was like, no way we captured that moment with just one picture. And my son's like, Marchand's crying in the background. That's great. I'm like, I know. And my dad's like, I know. And so that was one of the best moments of
three generations of Bluesers.
Yes. And my dad was like, I never thought I'd see it. And I was like, I know, me too. Right. I can't believe you lived this long, Dad.
You've had a rough life. Keep crying. I'm going to take you into the bathroom.
Yeah, exactly. How dare you? Do we need to go there? Yeah, so that's the Blues are always be close to my heart. And like, I'm actually in the process. Jenny's none too happy about it, about getting, my dad wants to get a tattoo.
Oh, right.
Blues
tell
tattoo.
Tell us.
And I have a tattoo of Amendment 2 on my butt cheek. So I was like, you know what would be funny? I'm going to get Craig Berube from the 80s on my left butt
with
cheek.
With his hockey hair.
With his hockey hair and missing two front teeth.
Yeah. Awesome.
And Jenny's like, you're kidding. She actually said.
Didn't she comment, does anybody know a divorce attorney?
I thought she said, all of the people that are voting on this are now on my shit list.
You're exactly right with both of those comments. She said both those things. And she also said, my next suitor. And I was like, this is a f***ing episode of The Bachelorette or something. She's like, well, my next suitor will care about me and not put tattoos on his butt. I'm like, your next suitor? Who's lined up? Like, Jesus Lord, a suitor? What is this, 1840? I don't know what's going on. So, yeah. That's fun.
That's awesome.
Goodness. All right. I'm going to try and get us back on the rails.
Should we go a little deeper?
We can go as deep as you guys want.
Okay.
I love the deeper the better. I feel like I'm...
Oh, God.
You know.
We're way... This is going to be... This
what
is gonna
are
be a,
we
a, it doesn't matter. Okay. It'll be... We'll do a double episode.
Yeah, you can cut it in half. That's
yeah,
perfect.
We'll cut it
in
half.
I'm sure people
will
just...
We have episode 2 and 3.
Yeah.
Right.
There
or
you go.
2 and 2.5. We already did a 1.5.
I don't like...
It
decimals.
Doesn't matter.
Just do a two-parter because, you know, we'll leave them with a cliffhanger here. You can cut it when you say you want to get deep.
Oh,
and
I like
then,
it.
And
all right.
Then you guys can even record
cut.
Something after this without me and say, hey, we're going to, you know, join us next week when Steve joins us again because I know you're clamoring for more content from that guy. So it'll probably, you know,
all
we
right,
get a million more fans or whatever.
Do
I don't
this.
Know.
Okay.
You know, I'm having a good time.
I am too.
Steve?
I am
still up
elated right
okay.
now.
He's been
all
looking
right.
at his watch for about 15 minutes.
Well, let's
we'll stop
say
here.
Say that, you know, we're going to collect ourselves.
Okay.
And then we're okay. Adam's looking at me like, what?
Where's this? Where's she going with this?
Doing?
Isn't that how everyone looks at you all the time?
Just confused about your the choices you're making.
I don't know. But let's do the next episode with Steve a little bit deeper.